To begin with, the project removed everything on the surface that was not supposed to be there. And that was a huge amount of drums, vehicles, wrecks, and all sorts of trash and debris that survived over many years. That was removed. And by the time I got there, the big drive was to collect all the drums from all over the island. And they were all over. What Noah did was to move the responsibility and leadership of the people of cleanup from the group that was doing it to the Office of Response and Restoration. So they opened the people of group within the Office of Response and Restoration. In 2000, the manager of the program, John Lindsay, asked me to help him with basically go there. First time was to monitor some training that was done there, which I did. And the second time was to help him with the assessment of the testing of 50 drums. And those 50 drums turned into more than 700 or 800. So I think John knew full well that there are no 50 drums, but he was willing to bend the truth a bit, which is fine. The main effort was to facilitate and guide and lead the cleanup of the Pribilof. So as I told you earlier, to begin with, and before I got there actually, in 1999 and 2000, they removed a huge amount of surface debris. And then 2000, the main effort was to move the drums along with other things. In 2000, from 2001 to 2008 or 9, it was a removal of the subsurface pollution. That was mostly diesel fuel, but also some gasoline and some other oil. So we worked with the local corporations. Both islands had three entities, the city, the tribe, and the corporation. The cleanup lasted from 1999 to about 2009. So it lasted for about 10 years. And in addition, and a part that I was less involved with, there was a conservation of the history of the island. And John and hired people especially for that, and they did a fantastic job. There were folks like you doing interviews, cinematography, going to references, collecting references, writing several books about the history of the island, family relations, and so on. So the history of the cleanup, it was very extensive. I remember one project when every grave in the cemeteries of the island was marked with a GPS. We had sophisticated GPS equipment. Was marked with a GPS because sadly, the cemeteries are not far from the ocean, and there is erosion. And one and two, not all graves are marked. And it was important for the project to try and ascertain where people are buried. And it's also, of course, very important for the people living there. So you have to be respectful to their culture and to their history. And I think when the local realize the amount of efforts that a group was taking to preserve the cultural heritage, it really changed hearts and mind. Sometimes it was like a single incident that could change heart and mind. Because for me, for example, but in 2003, a little boy was killed. And so it was very tragic. I went to the funeral, and I noticed that people were doing what the Jewish people do, which is cover the grave, then take turn to cover the grave with dirt. I mean, take a shovel and put dirt into the grave. So I volunteered, and I did it myself. I did it too. It seems to me that since then, things really changed. Because before that, people didn't really make an effort to talk to me or approach me outside of work, but like in the store. But after that, a whole lot more so. But after that, they realized that there was respect here. And of course, there was.